Hey, this is Chris Brown. This episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit Vanderblumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. So honored that you're here with us. Today, we're going to be talking all about your life, talking about your money. And of course, we know it's not your life and it's not your money. It's God's. And a lot of us have pronoun problems. They kind of sneak up from time to time. And it's all His. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." That means everything that we touch, everyone that we talk to, everything that we've been entrusted with. So, kind of a unique perspective. It's the only perspective, but it's very, very counterintuitive and very countercultural. And it makes all the difference. That right there, what I just said, is the foundational perspective that's behind winning with money and winning with relationships. And it all comes out of the Bible. So that's what we're going to talk about today. The phone number is 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. You call in and we will talk. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That email address again, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And it looks like our first call today is coming in from Clemson, Wisconsin. This is Ted. Ted, how you doing?
Hey, doing great out here in the great Badger State.
There you go. There you go. How can I help?
All right, my friend. Well, here's the deal. A 48-year-old father of two girls, 11 and 15 years old.
Okay.
I'm making about $60,000 a year, and I went through a divorce a few years back. I've dug myself out of the hole now to the point where I have zero bills. I've got about $40,000 in savings, and I'm renting my home, which I don't really care for. I wish to buy. I have myself set up to be retired in 10 years with the business I work in. And I'm split here on the fact I haven't really done much for their college fund. Let me say that different. I haven't done anything for their college fund, but I want to buy a house.
Yeah.
So I guess I just don't know what to do. I almost feel like it's too late for me to start a college fund. My oldest daughter was just confirmed, and what I want to do for her is put $1,000 in a Roth IRA. You know, that's something when she's 59 years old, she can enjoy.
Yeah. What kind of investments do you have on yourself in your retirement?
I have a very good pension plan. I'm in the state of Wisconsin pension plan.
Okay.
Which is very, very stable. So, you know, if I retire at 55 years old, 56 years old, I should be well off, but I can't stand to sit. So, you know, I'll have a job before I retire. I'll have another job to go to. Basically something fun for me and maybe something to cover my health care.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds to me, you know, because you've got all these great things that are up in the air. It's a great thing to have a paid off house. It's a great thing to contribute towards college. It's a great thing to invest in your retirement. Those are all great things. And what it sounds to me like is you just need a plan. You need a step-by-step plan because what you've done so far is winning. I mean, you're doing great. But here you are. You're in a spot where you're like, oh, my goodness, I actually have money. It's not going towards prior obligations. I have options. And sometimes when you have so many options, it's actually paralyzing because you've got so many good options, which is a good place to be. But you just need a plan. Are you familiar with Financial Peace University?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the plan that you want to work. And it's broken down into baby steps. And those of you who are listening in, Ted is in this spot where he needs to make sure that he has a fully funded emergency fund. He has got cash in hand, and I think you do, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, I have. And to be exact, you know, I mean, it's like $42,000 I have.
Okay.
Which to me, 10 of that is hands off. So.
Yeah, well, it's a little strong to have that. I'm sure it's in some kind of money market account or something, but that's a little strong to have in a savings account not doing anything for you. So you want to have 3 to 6 months of expenses in an account. So for you, that might be as low as $10,000. So the other 30, you got to put it to work. Now, the thing is with your pension, it's tied to a organization. So there's some risk associated with that, because even if it's diversified, which it's really not, it's all in one company. If something happens with the company, there goes your pension. So I would want you to have something, a little bit more diversified. I'd want you to invest in your own Roth IRA. And if there's a 401k available or anything like that, I'd want you to be diversified. So with that extra money, what I'd want you to do is take the first 15% and put it in long-term retirement for you. Okay, because you still got 14 years till you draw on a Roth. I think you said you're 45.
I'm 48.
48. So you got some time for that to really work for you. After that 15%, then you're going to start thinking through college funding for your girls. The 15-year-old, it's a tad late to get super big returns on an ESA or a 529 plan. Your biggest thing for her is to make sure you just choose an affordable in-state school, or even do community college for the first 2 years, or even a university online for this. That's where you're going to save a lot of money. Just don't go across the state line and try to avoid private school if you can avoid it. If you choose to afford it, then you choose to afford it. Just obviously you're not going to borrow for it. The 11-year-old, that one you could probably take advantage of a 529 or ESA plan. So I would recommend you going to see one of our endorsed local providers, one of our ELPs that we have right there in Wisconsin. You can just go to stewardship.com and click on ELP. They'll walk you through what options you have. And then once you're educated and you know what you're doing and you have a full understanding of what your options are, then I would either choose the ESA or the 529 plan. But I wouldn't invest in their retirement until you've fully diversified your retirement first.
All right. Well, you're super. I really appreciate your knowledge and your time.
Yeah, Ted, we appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm your host, Chris Brown. Hey, when I was an executive pastor, I used Vander Blumen's search group to help me find church leaders to join our church. As the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations, Vander Blumen prayerfully comes alongside your team to guide you through the search process and bring you great candidates that fit your church's needs. And actually, they connected Dave Ramsey with me. Because of their ministry, I am able now to serve and use my passions to spread the message of stewardship to the local church. Visit VanderBlumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com. I got an email here from Jocelyn. Says, hey, Chris, I'm a full-time homeschooling mom of 3 kids, ages 7, 6, and 3. About a year ago, I was blessed with a wonderful opportunity to get back into my former profession of teaching horseback riding. I wish I could get into that. I mean, that is so relaxing. She says, I love what I'm doing, and it allows me to keep my kids with me full-time and contribute $1,200 to $1,600 a month to our household. In the past few months, I've experienced several setbacks and felt like God was telling me this season of my life was over. However, as I reluctantly began shutting down my program about 2 months ago, new opportunities keep presenting to continue or revive my current program. How can I know if this is something I should persevere through, or if God is really closing the door? The more I seek this clarity in prayer, the more confused I become. I think I need a different perspective. I would love specific Bible verses or a book that I could read. Jocelyn, I think the majority of our listeners have probably been there before. Maybe not about a career or about in a professional arena, but you're just not getting the verbal response from God where he says, do this. And it just stays, you're 85% sure, which is, means you're still confused. So I totally get it. I think when you, you know, I'm reading between the lines here, it says that you're having times of prayer. And that's exactly what I would do. I'd recommend more quiet time with God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 148, my eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. And I think it's just meditating and being in God's presence as much as possible. That's where we get that godly wisdom. I would also just inquire about opportunities that God opens up. Okay, so inquiring about what all the options are. The Bible says, what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. That's straight out of the book of Revelation. And so I got to, you just got to make sure that you're inquiring about other opportunities. And of course, you want to seek advice like you are now. The Bible says plans are established by seeking advice. So if you wage war, if you engage, obtain guidance, found in Proverbs 20. And so that's what you're doing. You're seeking advice on this. You're probably asking a bunch of people, but you want to ask people in that field. Okay, let's play this thing out. 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 2 years from now, how does this play out? What could it look like? Is that something that you want? If you look down the future, go in that direction, is it something you'd want? Or if you were to go the other route, go 6 months down the road and say it's been successful, and then you play out the worst case scenario also, how is that something that you want? You got to ask yourself, if this were to go exactly the way I planned, is that what I even want? And then, of course, you know, you'd mentioned money in here, but I would ignore the temptation to make money the most important goal. Okay, the Bible says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This, too, is meaningless, right out of Ecclesiastes 5:10. So, Jocelyn, a couple books I'd recommend right off the top of my head. Lisa Turkhurst has some really good books on this. One of them is called Living Life on Purpose. I think it's going to speak to this wrestle. Another one is The Best Yes that she wrote as well, just talking about what to say yes to, what to say no to. And it helps a little bit. But those are some right at the top of my head. But it's definitely a wrestle. But remember, I've said this several times in this broadcast before. It is about the wrestle. It's about the process. If we knew every answer without engaging God, we wouldn't need God. And so I know that's easy for me to say as a third party on your situation where you're wrestling, you're in the middle of it, but just know that I've been there before and I didn't get the confirmation, this verbal response, the clouds didn't part and say, do this, Chris. No, never got that. And you've probably been there before too, Jocelyn. And just remember that you were just fine. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worry of itself, you know? Today has enough worry of itself. So I would just, you know, continue to seek him. And that's good news, as I read in this email, that you're already seeking him. So that's really, really good news. Well, thank you for the email. Next up from Augusta, Georgia, we've got Mark. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Chris. How about yourself?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
I've got a question about a type of loan. My wife and I are looking at buying a house. It'll be our first home. We have read the Total Money Makeover, and we are debt-free for about 6-7 years now.
Good.
The home is a HUD foreclosed FHA property. It's selling for $39,000, but it requires a 203K loan, which is a refurbishing loan. Mm-hmm. In order for us to purchase the house, that has to be factored into the total loan price.
Did you say that? What did you say the value of the home was?
The value of the home is unknown.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean value. I meant price.
The price that they're selling it for is $39,000.
Why?
Because it was foreclosed on about 2 years ago, and it's now owned by FHA. Property.
What's the estimated value? What would you say? $100,000? $80,000?
Estimated value about $80,000 to $100,000 in good condition.
Okay. And do you have any red flags on why it would be that good of a deal?
The only red flag that we have is it is a custom log cabin type of home.
Okay.
That might have termite issues.
Okay. And Do you have the option? You probably don't, but do you have the option to inspect first?
With this type of home, no.
Okay. So you're asking me if this particular loan, I typically don't like those, and let me tell you the reason why. Because, folks, just to catch you up to speed, the 203K mortgage is it's an FHA loan for doing rehab work, which is ideal for this situation. This is the perfect property for it. They loan you the money to buy the house, and then they also, the work money, to fix the house up as you need it. So it's kind of all rolled up into one deal. Then you owe the grand total. The danger is that if you don't get the work done because of maybe some life occurrence like a job loss or sickness or something like that, you've got this disaster on your hands. So for that reason, Mark, I typically don't like them. What I would suggest, especially if you've been out of debt for so long and you're in a good financial position, I would suggest just getting in a financial position to do rehab on a project like this that won't put you in such a risky situation. You've put yourself in a spot where you don't have to do this. No brick and mortar or log environment is worth putting yourself in a risky situation. So I don't like it, but you know, obviously I'm going to push you towards something with no strings attached, a 15-year fixed conventional loan, enough to put down, so you avoid mortgage insurance. That's obviously, what we teach here at Ramsey Solutions, but that's what I'd want you to do. So my guess is that you guys have put yourself in a position to buy a better home than this one that's so high risk, especially if you can't get an inspection.
We are in a good position to buy a better home,
mm-hmm.
But it's been years since we've been at the point where we're ready to buy that first house.
Yeah.
And we're getting to that point with rent being as high as it is and not being able to save up like we would like to. We'd like to actually buy a home.
Right, right. Are you close to even having enough for a down payment?
Currently, we can afford a $3,000 to $4,000 down payment, but that will cut into our savings to $2,000.
Yeah, yeah. What's your income?
Before tax, $55,000 a year.
Okay. What is your wife excited about this house?
We're apprehensive.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. That's a good word. I haven't seen the property, but this conversation makes me feel if one descriptor of this conversation comes to mind, it's apprehensive. That's a good way to put it. I personally don't like the whole situation.
Okay.
And I just think even if it's an investment home, it's hard to get you're reselling something that only a fraction of the market is interested in.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, we appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye. Well, folks, just like Mark, buying or selling a home is one of the biggest financial decisions that you'll ever make in your life. When making a decision that big, which is huge for Mark, right? He's right there at the crosshairs of a big decision. When making a decision this big, most people, they get help from a real estate agent, and I'm sure Mark has one as well. But do you know where to find a top agent that you can trust to get you a better deal on your home? Endorsed local providers are real estate agents with the heart of a teacher, selling a minimum of 40 homes annually. I used to be a real estate broker. I'm telling you, 40 homes a year is bringing it. Our ELPs close 5 times more business than a typical real estate agent does in any one year. And on top of that, they put customer service before their commission, and you can tell the difference. So make sure you get connected with an endorsed real estate agent in your area by going to stewardship.com and clicking on Find an ELP.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. Now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Well, folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and the phone number is 866-357-3283. And this next call comes in from Columbia, Missouri. This is William. William, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself? Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, honored. How can I help?
I am a journalism student here at the University of Missouri. I'll be entering my junior year. And I'm kind of at a crossroads right now where he's got a great journalism program and, you know, it's guaranteed a good job, but part of me wants to go into law enforcement. And I don't know where that came from, but basically just the desire to help more people. And it's, I've just got a strong passion for it, especially since, you know, all the scrutiny they're under right now. But I just feel that if I would come out of Mizzou with my journalism degree and then became a police officer, that I'd be wasting my talent, or my parents or friends would look down on me for going to be a police officer instead of a journalism major or something like that. So I just don't know where I should do right now. Is, you know, I'm at a crossroads, really.
Yeah, well, it's a great question, and I love the fact that you're seeking advice, and hopefully you're getting a lot of opinions, but not too many. there's a chance where you can actually get too many opinions.
Yeah, I've gotten a few, and, you know, my parents aren't for it. Really, no one's for it, because everyone that I'm close to is like, well, you're at Mizzou to get this journalism degree. You shouldn't be wanting to be a cop. Like, if you wanted to be a cop, you should have been a cop. But I had this desire of recent, and I've been thinking about it for months now, and I still have the same feeling that I want to go into law enforcement. So,
yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is, I think you got to ask yourself, why do you think this passion has developed? Sometimes we can have an overexposure of the romantic side or the fantasized side of a profession that makes it seem like it's better than it is. I don't know if you've experienced that. Only you do. Or maybe you have a friend, or maybe you've been hanging around with a lot of people that are talking about some of the cool sides of law enforcement. Mm-hmm. There's pros and cons to every industry. There's pros and cons to every profession. And it's possible, if this has only been a kind of a sparked interest for 2 months or less, that that could be the case. So you just want to make sure you check that this is especially at your age, if you're in your third year of college, are you roughly 21, 22?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so about that time is where you start to get these little two-month things that they come and go. It's totally normal.
I've had this for about, 6 months now. This is the one. A lot of times I'll change my mind, like you said. Ever since I started going to college, my mind is in a scatterbrain. You know, I say I want to do this, I want to do that, or I don't want to do this. Like, I've had moments where I've said I don't want to go to college anymore. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
it's very confusing time, and the law enforcement thing keeps coming back in my mind. But I just don't want it to be one of those things where, as you said, it's these little things where they come and then they go. I don't want it to be like that.
Yeah, well, I totally understand. And here's the deal. I would know your why first, okay? Know why. Why am I choosing law enforcement over journalism before I ever make that move, before I ever sign any documents or change my major or anything like that? Secondly, I would know your wiring and your gifts and your tendencies. Know everything about yourself. Have this moment of, take a couple months to really just evaluate, if you haven't done it already, evaluate, who you are as a person. Then, of course, you want to get some intel from both fields. What does it look like to be a successful journalist? What does it look like to be a great, police officer? And then you got to ask yourself, what is that? Maybe even over the summer you shadow somebody. But looking back at my life, William, I would never have guessed my path. Okay. I went from teaching to real estate, went from real estate to pastoring, and pastoring now to pastoring, and it looks a little bit different. I would have never guessed that. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. But in all we do, we can't go wrong with Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. So here's the deal. You can choose either one of these paths. I don't want you to think there's only one calling. You can choose either one of them, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll make your path straight. So either one you go, just make sure you're giving him the glory for it. That's the big thing. And just know, whether you're 21, those of you listening in, and you're 38 or you're 46, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And so we just got to remember that it's God's going to do whatever he's going to do. I would have never guessed my path, but he knew what he was doing all the way there. And I wouldn't, William, I wouldn't feel strapped only because of your past financial investment. Of course, that's a factor, but I wouldn't make a decision just because you have that past investment. Okay. You want to make sure you're fulfilled. And you also just want to, make sure that it's not, some indigestion that you have. That's just a feeling. It's got to be more than that. So we appreciate the call. Well, folks, as you're listening to this show and making changes in your own life, give us a call to tell us how you're doing. Just call us at 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. And if you heard me mention earlier, if you're buying or selling a home in the near future, get in touch with one of our ELPs, our endorsed local providers, by going to stewardship.com and clicking on Find an ELP. Folks, it has been a pleasure. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.